blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the first book of Kings. The Lord said to Elijah, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place." So he set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm appointed for today is Psalm 16. Read by half verse, please. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you.
I have said to the Lord, "You are my Lord, my good above all others."
All my delight. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup.
It is you who hold my lot.
My boundaries enclose a pleasant land.
Indeed, I have but your heritage.
I will best bless the Lord who gives me counsel.
My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me.
Because he is at my right hand, I shall not fall.
My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices.
My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave,
nor let your Holy One see the pit.
You will show me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the word of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like that. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
See all of you. There are a number of elements in today's readings that I find confusing, troubling even. Paul's dualism concerning flesh and spirit, for example. Over time, that tack taken by Paul has been used to justify some pretty harsh judgments about our bodies in general, about sex specifically. Better put, those judgments have nearly always been not about our bodies, but theirs and their sexual expressions. You can, and many have, define they and their in a variety of ways, the common element being not the way we treat our bodies. Frequently, these judgments have been made without understanding or compassion. Paul seems to be forgetting here, Greek philosophy and all, in which he was well steeped, that God created our flesh as well as our spirit and declared it good. So that's one thing. And that's without delving into the whole ham-handed business of dualism in general, black and white thinking in a multi-hued world of physical and spiritual reality. Another more confusing than troubling element is the juxtaposition of Elijah's and Jesus' call to their followers. Elijah tells Elisha, by all means, go back, prepare a feast for your family one last time. Jesus, on the other hand, adamantly says no to a request for a potential follower merely to tell his family goodbye. Even looking back is not allowed. The point, I think, though, as I said, I'm confused, is that this is not a matter of prophecy, foundational though that is, as our colleague says, but a matter of fulfilling God's will and carrying the good news of liberation to everyone, and time's wasted. Besides, Jesus by this time has set his face toward Jerusalem and his impending death, execution, martyrdom. Without spending more time or energy on those matters, I think the critical line in today's scripture comes from Paul. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. How we have drifted, maybe galloped is more like it, from that ideal. Don't get me wrong, I don't think our generation, nor our parents, nor their parents' generation, suddenly departed from something we always used to do, that is, love our neighbors as ourselves. We humans were already in the soup on this issue. That's why Jesus had to say it in the first place, and why Paul repeated it only a few years later. It's also why Jesus made up a story about the Good Samaritan, to show us what it means to love our neighbor, and more pointedly, to show us who our neighbor is. In Luke's scheme of things, Jesus has not yet told this parable, but today's reading is a beautiful setup for it. Luke is careful to identify the village who wouldn't welcome Jesus and his disciples as Samaritans. You know, right-to-lifers, abortion providers, gay people, drug dealers, both the street corner and corporate variety, Jews, conservatives, liberals, Russians, Ukrainians, pro-gun lobbyists, titans of industry, gun control lobbyists, you know, those people. People on the margins of society, particularly, those easily looked down upon. People who come from somewhere else, people without power, without voice, people whose skin is a different color, those who are deemed inferior by some measure or another. Every age and place has its own store of Samaritans. In this case, the disciples acted in a way that should seem familiar to us. They self-righteously ask a question to which they think they already know the answer. Should we rain down fire on their heads? Feeling confident that their leader would agree, because after all, these are Samaritans. Safe ground here, sure footing. Jesus tells them to shut up. It might be a coincidence that in the next chapter of Luke's Gospel is where we find the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's his response to the seeker of truth, who also is an expert in the law. His response to that lawyer's question, what do I need to do to enter the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, heaven? Jesus says, well, what's the essence of the law? You know the law. And the man gives the right answer. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've got it, Jesus tells him. But the lawyer can't leave it alone. So who's my neighbor, he asks. Enter the parable. No doubt it was not lost on the disciples who had just been rebuked about the Samaritan village incident. It's been a pretty tumultuous couple of weeks. What with hearings about the insurrection, gun legislation, overturning Roe v. Wade. Whatever anyone's position on these or other issues, our calling as Christians is to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to expand our definition of neighbor to include those with whom we disagree, even vehemently disagree. Hearts beat fast. I can't speak for you, but I find that the most challenging part, that defining of neighbors that includes some of the Samaritans I mentioned a moment ago and a whole bunch I didn't mention. Not in theory, I've got that down pat. Everybody's my neighbor. But in the trenches of specific issues and attitudes and actions, in the crucible of political life, I find it extremely difficult. In fact, I feel hypocritical even invoking that summary of the law, because it feels so good, so right to strike some posture of superiority, often expressed in my smug sarcasm, against those who are opposed to my most firmly held, emotion-laden opinions and beliefs. crazy about that tendency myself. But I think that acknowledging it must precede any chance I have of becoming a more loving person. Jesus was relentless in his opposition to those who put their fellow humans at risk, even if their motives were ostensibly religious, and they often were, even spiritual. He was not an easygoing, anything goes kind of guy. Yet his compassion and love extended to everyone, including those government functionaries whose job it was to nail him to the cross. I can't give up on myself and say, I just can't stand these fill-in-the-blank persons. And after all, that's just the way I am. And no punishment is too great for them. We can't give up on ourselves as capable of loving more and judging less, even as we work for change. We're better than that. We're better than that because we're made in the image of God, the very source of love. And only God who created us can bring us to a place of unity within our diverse opinions and beliefs and backgrounds. God does seem to count on us to do our part, to open ourselves to that loving presence and force. As we pray in today's collect, grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by the apostles' teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
We stand for the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, but of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us, for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified, and he has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That their
us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let the light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We pray especially for Jim, George, Carol, David, Joey, Molly, Patty, Ann, John, Sarah, Alan, Maureen, Jill, Karen, Stephen, Sherry, RG, Greg, Janet, Chris, Jane, the Degutierre family, Martha and family, and the people of Ukraine. And for those in the military, Brian, Trevor, James, Reed, Kevin, Brian, Jared, Chris, Jonathan, Eric, and all in harm's way. We pray for all who are traveling this week, especially Diane Hayes and Sherry Musgrove. We pray for all who have died, especially Pam Graham, priest. We pray in thanksgiving with Wayne Bilkrey and Michael Long, who celebrate their birthdays this week.
Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbors. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, or by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may be made like your Lord. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you and your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Stand or kneel or sit as you choose. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. The wisdom of God, the love of God, and the grace of God strengthen you to be Christ's hands and heart in the world, in the name of the Holy Trinity. Amen. Amen.
Serve the Lord.